Hello and welcome to Market House, the podcast where we talk all things Disney. My name's Caleb, and this week we're going to be giving you all the latest Disney news, as well as talking about the Disney proxy battle. Let's dive in. All right, so this is episode number 125. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us for yet another episode of Market House. Again, like I mentioned in the intro, it is just me. Caitlin is hanging out with Maddie tonight. Our schedule got absolutely rocked this weekend, and so, again, just recording time fell when we're just having to do stuff with Maddie. So that's what Caitlin's doing. I'll be taking over the hosting duties this week. I apologize if you are, a fan of Caitlin and her additions to the show. You're stuck with me this week. So, but before we dive into the news and all that good stuff, let's just give you a week recap on what we've been up to. Again, it's been a lot of hanging out at home. We've been hanging out with family a lot more recently, which has been really fun now that the weather is getting pretty nice and we're out of that nasty sick season with Maddie. Wanted to keep her nice and healthy. Now we're hanging out. So it's been a lot of fun, very busy and hectic, but that's good stuff. All good things and good reasons to be busy and hectic. And other than that, just watching some movies at home, catching up on some of those Oscar winners, that we did not see the first go around. And so we've been catching up on a lot of good movies at home. Other than that, online shopping. Maddie's getting a lot of clothes. Summer clothes now is what we're building. So Caitlin's building that wardrobe up for the summer months because we have already hit like the mid-70s, and that's pretty warm. When you're going from like the 50s to mid-70s, it feels like a giant jump. And so it's been very warm. The allergies are very real, and the mosquitoes are out. It's just crazy. And then in like 4 or 5 days, it dips back down to the 50s and low 60s and rain. So we're getting that kind of false spring and then going right back into winter. So I don't know. Hopefully you're having better weather or good weather where you're from, but that's what we're dealing with. Before we dive into that news, please consider joining us over on Patreon, markethousepodcast.com/support. Your support means the world to us. Again, it just supports the show. We reinvest all of that right back into the show to get you guys this content every single week. Also, you can leave a review on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Both are a huge help to the show. You can leave a 5-star rating on both platforms and a written review over on Apple, and we'll read it on the show. All right, let's dive into that news. All right, for our first news story, we're heading over to Walt Disney World and specifically you Florida residents. So you have a fantastic ticket deal. Again, it's only for Florida residents, but they are offering a 3-day ticket for $219 or a 4-day ticket for $235. Both are a screaming deal. So again, if you live in Florida and you can prove that, that is the key thing. So you can't trick the system. According to Disney, you have to prove that you're a Florida resident, I'm assuming by ID or something like that, a Florida address. So don't try and trick the system. You'll probably get caught. We're not going to encourage you to try and whatever. I don't know for certain. I can't claim that they're for sure going to check that, but I'm assuming they check your residency at somehow, right? Again, you can add $40. It's $40 per day to add a park hopper option. I wouldn't say I'd recommend it. Just because you don't really need to park hop, I would say, in Walt Disney World. Again, we're not pros over there, so correct me if I'm wrong. Disneyland, I would totally encourage you to get them. It's worth the money because it's so stinking close. You can jump back and forth between the two parks in 5 minutes, whereas at Disney World, it is a 45-minute to an hour trek to get to another park, so it's a lot of effort. Totally not needed, especially when you're getting it for $200-something. That is a steal, so don't add money to it. Let it be a smoking deal. Again, this deal is valid for visits starting April 2nd through September 28th, so pretty much those summer months. What's weird to me is that Walt Disney World, their slow season is the summer, which that is the like crazy busy season over here in Disneyland. So that always takes me for a trip. It's because of their weird weather. It dumps rain and then it's like 98 degrees with 100% humidity. So I don't blame you for not going during that time. But again, it just kind of throws me for a loop when they say that's their slower season. All right, next up, we're heading over to the high seas with Disney Cruise Line with the release of the 2025 summer itineraries. Disney, again, it is a huge deal when they release a chunk of itineraries, and this is one of them. Summer of 25, this is what you can expect on DCL. First up, the biggest change is the Disney Fantasy is going to Europe. So a ton of sailings out of there. I think some originate in, like, they start in England, Spain, and one other country. I'm forgetting. Where? I'm totally forgetting. Maybe France or something. But anyways, there's like three different itineraries you can pick from, choose from. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Rome. That's what it is. Italy. So I think those are the three main ports that it sails out of for the summer of 25. Again, usually the Disney Dream takes this, so it's weird that the Fantasy is going out there. The rumor is that it's going to be spending some time over at the ship dock over there where it was originally built, Meyer Werft or something like that, to get a dry dock. So some improvements, because I'm almost positive the Disney Fantasy was the one that had the pool leak. If you didn't catch us on social media, Disney kept it pretty quiet, but it looked like the pool was leaking. Some kind of crack happened or something with the pipes, I don't know, and leaked into some rooms there on deck 10. So not ideal. So I'm assuming they'll be fixing that and doing some minor refurbishments throughout the ship. You've got the Disney Treasure, the newest Disney ship, taking the 7-night Western and Eastern Caribbean sailings. We all kind of knew this is what they're doing, but that is out of Port Canaveral, I believe. You've got the Disney Dream that will be sailing out of Fort Lauderdale, and that is doing 3- to 5-night Bohemian. And there's a few Western Caribbean sailings as well. The cool thing about the Dream is that they're going to be doing stops at both Castaway Key and Lighthouse Point, both Disney-owned islands, so that's pretty awesome if you want some unique itineraries going out of there. The Disney Magic, Disney's oldest ship, will be sailing out of Port Canaveral and doing 4- to 5-night Bohemian sailings, and they've got one 10-night Eastern Caribbean itinerary, so that's kind of fun, a very unique one. The Magic also is going to be stopping at both Disney Islands during the Caribbean sailings. I'm sorry, Bohemian. So again, those two ships are going to be stopping at both islands in their itineraries. The Disney Wish continues the 3- to 4-night Bohemian sailings out of Port Canaveral, so nothing there, nothing new. And then finally, the Disney Wonder will be returning to Vancouver for the 5- to 9-night Alaska sailings. We've done this one. It is amazing. Again, mostly they're 7 nights, but there are some unique 5- and 9-night sailings. But that 7-night Alaska sailing is so flipping amazing. Alaska is gorgeous, and Disney does a great job up there. So if you can, I would definitely recommend doing the Alaska sailing in 25. And our final news story takes place over here in DCA. And Patrick Warburton, the famous voice behind Kronk from Emperor's New Groove and the voice of the safety spiel at the beginning of Soarin' Over California and Soarin' Over the World. What does he say? Put away those babies or something. It's the line about the Mickey ears. It is an awesome intro. It's been around for 20 plus years, but he surprised park goers by doing this safety spiel in person before one of the flights, I guess you can call it. And so he pops out, Disney recorded it, they put it on YouTube. It's definitely worth a watch. It's like 5 minutes long, so go check it out if you have the time. But anyways, he does the whole safety spiel in person in front of all these guests. It is really fun to watch, and it's so cool to hear it coming out of his mouth. Again, that like iconic voice. Disney also, KTLA, not Disney, KTLA, which is the local news station, made it seem like they'll be showing a new safety video in the future, and that this in-person appearance was his final time. They used the words that this was his final time delivering this safety spiel. So I don't know if that was like a really weird choice of words by the journalist or if that's true. Do you know if they're replacing the video? We don't know for certain. Caitlin and I couldn't find anything online. But again, the way the article made it seem like this was like the ending of the famous safety video before Soarin', I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. I think it was just maybe a weird choice of words. But let us know if you know anything about this video at DCA and Epcot. All right, and that brings us to our main segment of this week's episode, and that is the Disney Proxy Battle. So you may have heard about this battle between a man named Nelson Peltz and Disney, or more specifically, Bob Iger, the CEO. They're in the middle of what's called a proxy battle, or some people call it a proxy fight. And I'm going to try and explain it as simply and as quickly as possible. This is pretty dry technical stuff that I sometimes don't even understand. And there's a ton of history with this particular story and all that stuff. So I'm just going to try and kind of just go to the heart of it and explain what the heck it is. Why should you care? Because again, it's all over the news. And if you're a Disney fan, you definitely have heard of this battle, is what they're calling it, between this guy named Nelson Peltz and Bob Iger. So let's kind of dive in. I will do my best to explain it. Again, very technical. I will try and put it in layman terms so we both understand it. And at the end of it, hopefully you feel a little more educated on the subject and you can kind of speak to it and understand what's going on with all this at Disney. So first up, you've got Nelson Peltz. Let's understand who this guy is and why should we care about him. He is the founder of Trian Fund Management. It's a hedge fund that's located in New York City, and he manages around $8 billion. So that's the size of his hedge fund, around $8 billion. That's some of his money. I think he's worth personally like $1 or $2 billion, and the rest of it is investor money. So it's a bunch of friends and other wealthy people. Usually you have to be very wealthy to invest in these funds. You know, some of them are like, you know, liquid net worth of $3 million, $6 million, $15 million. I mean, you're not even, you have to be a multi-millionaire to even be considered for these hedge funds. So us normal folk usually can't invest in these things. So a bunch of rich friends and rich people invest in his fund, and he manages that money as well. He's also an activist investor. So let me tell you what that means. He essentially finds a company he sees value in. Maybe he thinks it's undervalued, and with a few management tweaks, it could gain significant value, which means the company and its shareholders make money, and primarily him, because he buys up a large percentage of shares. So he takes all that money, that $8 billion or whatever, not all of it, but takes a decent chunk, let's say $500 million, and will buy up a significant amount of shares, stock, in a company. So he'll buy a chunk of it, enough to get their attention and to get a lot of clout, I guess, within that organization, and demands a board seat and or significant operational changes to the company. So he will say, hey, you need to put me on the board because I'm a smart guy and I own a ton of the company and I've got some good ideas for you folks. So put me on the board and also cut costs, fire this guy, get rid of this product, blah, blah, blah. He's done this with multiple companies over the years. He's done this with PepsiCo, Procter & Gamble, Kraft Heinz, and many, many others. I don't want to list all of them here, but he's known for this. Peltz has decided that Disney is being mismanaged. So he's trying to do exactly what I described to Disney. So, hey, I don't agree with how you're running this company. I own a significant stake. So it's in my best interest to go in here and cause a ruckus, to make some changes to hopefully make us all more money. In January of 2023, Trian announced that Peltz was seeking a Disney board seat. Now, again, keep in mind that Peltz had already acquired a large enough percentage of Disney stock to make these kinds of demands. Think in the billions, right? So let's say he bought $1 billion worth of Disney stock. That is going to get the attention of all the board members and the CEO, because this guy is buying up a ton of shares. That means voting power, and that means influence. So they were this guy was on their radar, and he made it known that he was seeking a board seat. Disney publicly asked shareholders to not elect Peltz to the board, saying that he lacked the skills and experience to be a board member. Fair enough. I don't think he's ever been a board member of a media giant like Disney. I think he's currently the chairman of Wendy's, so fast food, and a couple of other, again, he's a board member on a ton of other organizations, but I don't think there's been a lot of media experience specifically. So that was their argument. This guy has no idea what he's doing with Disney, so do not elect him to the board. Just a month later, Peltz ended his proxy campaign saying, hey, Disney is cutting $5.5 billion out of the budget. They're making the changes I had recommended. So you know what? We're going to lay off and I'm going to go away. I'm happy with the changes. So Disney thinks they're in the clear. Nelson Peltz is out of the picture. We've made the changes he requested and he's gone. Not so much. So the stock continued to take a beating in 23. So in October, Ike Perlmutter, who is the former head of Marvel, gave Peltz, Nelson Peltz, again, let's keep all these names in our head. So Ike Perlmutter, former head of Marvel, gave Nelson Peltz, this activist investor, his voting rights of his 25 million Disney shares. So Ike Perlmutter owned personally 25 million Disney shares and said, hey, Mr. Peltz, I agree with what you're saying. I'm going to let you vote in my place with these 25 million Disney shares. That gets you a lot of influence. So this brought Trian Fund's total Disney stake to 33 million shares, or at the time, around $3 billion worth of Disney stock. So now Peltz is getting more influence and gaining more, again, power, essentially, within Disney because he's buying up or getting the voting rights of more and more shares. So this is gaining him a lot of, again, that internal power that he's seeking to make these changes. So, again, and a side note on the Perlmutter thing, this is right after he was fired from Disney. So, again, no questions around his feelings towards the company. I think he was pretty bothered by getting fired. So I'm assuming that's why he called up Nelson and said, take my shares, buddy, and wreak havoc over at Disney. Peltz is now asking for himself and Jay Rasulo, who is the, excuse me if I'm butchering that name, Rasulo. He's the former Disney CFO. He's asking for them two to be added to the board. That is his recent request, that they both be added to the board. This brings us to 2024, where multiple hedge funds have publicly backed Iger and Disney. So again, keep in mind, there are not just Trian Fund Management. There are dozens, if not multiple dozens, of hedge funds out there that own millions, if not billions of dollars of Disney shares. So they've got a ton of voting power as well. Now, in these proxy battles, you've got allegiances, I guess, or alliances. So you've got some of these hedge funds that will align themselves with the current CEO, or you've got some hedge funds that agree with maybe the person trying to come in and make some trouble, like a Nelson Peltz, and they'll align themselves with them. So that's how you influence votes, and this is what's happening here. So you've got, again, the majority of hedge funds siding with Iger and Disney, seeing that they've improved both the finances, the stock itself, the stock price has gone up significantly since this all started. And so the pressure has gone off of Iger a little bit, and they're seeing improvements, I guess. So they believe in Iger's leadership and what Disney's doing. In addition to the hedge funds, the Disney family themselves have come out and defended Iger's leadership. And they also shared some pretty honest thoughts on what Peltz is doing. They called him a lot of, not mean words, but just very descriptive on what they think he's doing. He's just coming here and wanting to grab some money out of the company. And basically, they don't believe in the magic. They don't believe in what, you know, my family member did, whether that be Roy or Walt. And so, again, both families, Roy's family and Walt's family, have both come out saying, nope, we believe in Iger and what he's doing. He understands this company. Nelson Peltz is not what's best for Disney at this time. Again, and you have to understand how important this is to have the Disney name behind you, and you see that last name of these folks coming and defending Iger in this time. That's a big deal. And so I think that's going to have a lot of sway when it comes time to vote. As a reminder, keep in mind that these hedge funds, that these big rich people, they have a lot of voting power. So again, each share equals a vote at these shareholder meetings. This one coming up, you're going to hear a lot of stuff from it, is coming up on April 3rd. So this is the big meeting. This is when all this stuff's going to come to a head, all the stuff that Nelson Peltz has been saying, all the stuff that Iger and Disney's been saying, and it's really going to come time to vote. And so you can vote at home. So if you own shares, you're called a retail investor, and you're going to hear this probably in the shareholder meeting. Retail investor, institutional investor, those are hedge funds, those are the Fidelities of the world, Charles Schwab, what have you, JP Morgan, like Trian Fund Management, those kinds of companies, those are called institutional investors. Those are folks that are a certain dollar amount, and also they basically invest on others' behalf. And then you've got retail investors, smaller quantity, smaller amounts, and they only purchase and transact as individuals. So that's you and me at home. So you're going to be able to vote if you own Disney shares. So if you own Disney stock, you can also cast your vote in this deal, in the shareholder meeting. And one, it's just going to be one of the items, right? One of the items will be, do you want to elect these two people to the board? And so I'm assuming Disney's going to be saying, heck no, do not elect these people, elect what we have chosen. And, you know, these are all very successful people, currently Disney's board. I think the current chairman is, he was a former executive at Nike, I believe, or former CEO or something. And you've got folks from all different walks of life, both men and women, very successful. And so that's who Disney believes should be leading this company. So That is a very rough, and I apologize if I skipped over a ton of stuff. That's kind of a very rough description of what that is. You've got a very wealthy man with a lot of influence and power believing that Disney is not being run correctly, so he is using his money and the resources of others to gain a bunch of influence at this particular company, specifically Disney, and wanting to insert himself so he can manage the company in a way, right? As a board member, you have a lot of influence and a lot of say in what the direction of the company. And so he's wanting to get on there so he can direct the company into what he wants to do and hopefully make some money at the end of it. So he wants to, you know, really skyrocket that stock price. Let's say he doubles the money and he sells all the shares and then he walks away happy man and his investors walk away richer. So that's what he's trying to do. That's just what people do. That's capitalism for you. Let me really quickly read off what Trian is wanting to do. They have a website called RestoreTheMagic.com. So they believe the magic is gone and they're going to restore it. So let me read what they are wanting from Disney. They want to adopt best-in-class governance, finally complete a successful CEO succession, and align management pay with performance. So he has mentioned that he thinks Bob Iger has been overcompensated for what he's done for the company, and he doesn't agree with the CEO pay package. And as well, he's pretty frustrated that he had to come back. So he believes that, hey, pick a guy and stick with them. The flip-flopping is not good for the company. Also, he wants to target and achieve Netflix-like margins of 15 to 20% by 2027. So they're talking, they want Disney Plus specifically to probably make the kind of money that Netflix is making. Right now, they're losing money. Keep in mind, Disney lost, I think, $150-ish, $200 million last quarter on Disney Plus, whereas Netflix is making some money over there. So they want margins of 15 or 20% by 27. Commit to a reasonable defined payback period and return profile on ESPN flagship direct-to-consumer, good grief, and communicate it in detail prior to launch. It sounds like they want a direct-to-consumer product, ESPN app or something that you can subscribe to versus having to get a cable package. I would argue that's probably a good point. Board-led review of creative processes and structure to restore leadership accountability and reclaim number one box office position with leading economics. So it looks like returning the movie division to its former glory, and then execute on a clear vision for parks, targeting at least high single-digit operating income growth to ensure adequate returns on $60 billion of CapEx spending. That means capital expenditures. I'm not going to get into all that. Basically, what he's trying to say is, hey, we want the parks to be more efficient with this recent or upcoming $60 billion investment. We want to see some operating income growth from that investment. So they want some metrics to basically grade the success of what that money did for them. I'm going to stop here. It gets kind of convoluted and technical. You probably don't even care about this, but I thought it's interesting. I am interested in what's going on over there. It's a lot of drama. If you like Succession, the show on HBO, this is basically what's going on in a way, except it's not all family. It's a bunch of people, but it's pretty interesting. Peltz recently, I'll wrap it up here. Nelson Peltz has been doing a lot of interviews, and he does come across, I don't know if I have a strong opinion on what's going on, but he does come across probably not super educated in the media landscape. He's gotten some answers wrong and has said some stuff that is a little concerning. The guy that wants to come in here and be a board member on a major scale media company, not really understanding the media landscape, so I don't have a lot of belief in that, as well as he has decided to align himself and meet with Elon Musk multiple times. And that's not even a problem. That's not it. Whether you like the guy or not, that's not the point. Point is, he knows that he has made some very inappropriate comments towards Bob Iger, used a very profane language at a conference that Bob Iger was attending, and basically told Iger on stage, using stronger words than this, basically go kick rocks, Bob Iger. Came out of left field. I mean, again, you can like the guy or not. I don't care what your opinion is on Elon Musk, but not the probably brightest decision to go tick off other powerful CEOs. Maybe that's his cup of tea. He likes doing it. But Nelson Peltz has kind of gotten buddy-buddy with Elon, so I don't know what's going on, if he maybe wants Elon to get in the mix and maybe influence what's going on with Disney. But that's probably not a great look, especially for the Disney family, probably questioning Peltz's intent. Like, what are you doing here, guy? What do you want for the company? Disney's recent performance has increased exponentially, so they've really reduced The losses over at Disney Plus, yeah, at one point they were losing like $500 million on Disney Plus every quarter, and now they've shrunk that down to, again, like I mentioned, $100 to $200 million. So again, that's a lot of money, but they have shown improvements. The parks are making money hand over fist. They are printing money. So again, the movie division has not been very successful recently. It's been actually a lot of flops have been coming out of it. Iger has shown some initiative in trying to fix that, but the parks themselves have been just the moneymaker for Disney, and that looks pretty good for the years to come. And then finally, you've got Disney support. You can't discount that at all. That has a lot of influence on, I would say, retail investors, you and me at home, and our decision on our vote. Again, when you've got the Disney family coming out and saying, you know what, we think Iger is right for the time, I think you just kind of have to go with their assessment on it. They're trying to defend or protect the legacy that their, you know, was, I don't know if there was a father, grandfather, uncle, great uncle, what have you, both Roy and Walt, trying to protect their legacies. And again, if they have their support, then that's good enough for me. So again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I usually don't even vote at these things because my paltry, you know, whatever shares that don't amount to much in these kinds of things, I don't really take part. But again, if you want to have a fun thing to do, go buy a couple and you can take part in this historic vote. Go buy one or two Disney shares so you can at least be a part of this and cast your votes for who you want to be board members at Disney. So that's pretty much the gist of it. If you have any questions, I'm a total dork and love talking about this stuff. Send them our way over on Instagram or our website, markethousepodcast.com. Would love to talk proxy battles and fights and what have you. This is fun. I like talking about it. Hopefully this wasn't too boring. I know it's a bummer Caitlin couldn't be a part of it, but Maddie, she needs some attention. And so Caitlin's taking care of her. I'm appreciative of that. And we wanted to make sure we got something out for you guys. So you're stuck with me again. But also, I'm going to include, we did try recording earlier. Maddie was with us. I'm going to include at the end of this a little blooper, if you will, on an intro we tried to record, and Maddie was making her presence known. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us over on Instagram and Threads at Market House Podcast. Make sure to follow us over there for pictures from the park and exciting news and announcements. Consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, both a huge, huge help to the show. We'll read a written review on the show as well. We have a Patreon. Join us over at markethousepodcast.com/support to support the show over there. We appreciate all of you and are very grateful for your support over there. Remember to use our Getaway Today link for your future trip bookings. Check out the episode details for that link and use code MARKETHOUSE10 to save an additional $10 on your vacation. Join us next week for another episode. It's been fun. It's been financy and billion dollars. Bye. And this is episode number 125.
Yeah, welcome back as always, everybody.
Welcome back. And we may have already said this in the intro, but we've got ourselves a third podcast host today.
We do.
Miss Maddie, she is joining us. We're trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we're recording. Well, there we go. There's her addition to the show, if you can hear that. She's just making it known that she's here. But usually we record when she's napping. Today.
Yeah.
The timing of it just worked out. Wow, that is a lot. Thank you. My goodness, she's got a lot to say tonight. But the timing just... Oh, my gosh.